Welcome to the Yeshiva Shel Milo. This is David Lichtenstein. In a few weeks, it's going to be Tavshin Pei Beis and Shnas HaShemitah. This week's shiur is going to be about Shemitah in Hashkafa and in Halacha. We will have Reb Shia Markowitz, one of the big Asganim in Klal Yisrael. The Gedolim asked him to head Keren HaShvius, which is a fund that's collected. People donate for the hundreds, I think they're up to 500 farmers or so, whose properties they really save from foreclosure. Imagine COVID, if your business was impacted, you had a retail store, nobody was coming in. Imagine every 7 years having COVID on steroids. That's what a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, a Shem HaShemitah, has. So Reb Shia and Keren HaShvius protect these farmers. We will have Reb Nachum Rabinovich from the OU, 30 years in Hashgacha Plus, senior rabbinical coordinator. He's also Rav in Flatbush of Chevras Nachlas Yeshua, the Manistrichka Shul. He'll be speaking about all the halachas that are relevant to you and to me and to your housewife. You buy a bottle of Yardane wine. It's from a Shnas HaShemitah. What are the halachas? What can you do with it? What can't you do with it? What produce in grocery stores, spices, etc. We will have from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Ephraim Landy. He's Av Beis Din Reish Kol and Rav in Eretz Yisrael, a Paisik in Kinyan Shemitah. He's actually one of the organizations that leases land to people and uses the money to support Esrig farmers. We'll be speaking to him as well. Should be a wonderful halachic and hashkafic introduction to Shemitah. Before we go to our guests, I want to talk about an organization that's called Agudas HaShemitah. It's a private for-profit business. And what do they do? It's run by a gentleman, Reb Simcha Margolius. They sell land. You could buy an amma in Eretz Yisrael. I forgot the exact amount. I believe it's $360 to buy an amma by an amma in Eretz Yisrael, or $600 to buy $4 amas in Eretz Yisrael, 2x2. And what do they advertise? They advertise, if you buy an amma by an amma, you are mekayim, mitzvah shemitah. You now have a piece of Eretz Yisrael that is now going to lay fallow because of you. And you're going to be zaycha tu vitzi vcs berchasi. You're going to be giboyrei koyach oisei dvarei. We actually asked somebody from Agudas Shemitah if they would come on to the program. They declined. But here's what I would ask them. Like, for starters, do you believe, really? What does the pasuk say? This is a farmer. This is going back thousands of years. It was an agricultural society. And he said, if my land lies fallow, what am I going to eat? I'll starve to death. So the Torah says, V-C-V-C-S berchasi. We just ask, just from a pure hashgafadika point of view, I'm living in America, I'm an investment banker, this year I'll make $1 million. I send $360 to Eretz Yisrael to buy an amma that I never would see, I never would use. It's January 1st by 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I've made that 360. Would you call this person, what am I going to eat? And Rabbeinu Shalom is vitzi vcs berchasi. Don't worry, Tata. I know you gave up your whole business is lying fallow. The TV show. Do you think that's really the intent? Just curious. And in their advertisement, they write that not only is Vitzivius Berchasi, but you're also called Giboyre Koyach, right? You're called a giant, a Giboyre of Koyach. Oisei Devara, you're mighty. You restrain your impulses. Imagine you're sitting there, your business just sitting there, rotting away for a year, and you just bite your lip and you say, it's the Ratzon Hashem, you call the Gibari Kayach. Does it feel right that when somebody buys an Amma by Amma, he's called the Gibari Kayach and as if it's CVCS Berchasi? I'm just curious also, additionally, why do you need an Amma by an Amma, which is, let's say, 18 inches by 18 inches? It could require, according to the letter of the law, you should be able to do a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch. I got to know what this amma by an amma is. And then the last question is, by doing it, and it's an admirable way to try to figure out how to earn a living, do you think you may be damaging the farmers who really need this money? Here's what Reb Shia Markowitz, during our conversation, we took out a few snippets. Here's what he said.
The other organizations that are raising for Shemitah are private businesses on the whole. They are not supporting farmers on the whole. The Shav Sa'ar Shabbos Hashem that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is a mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has to keep Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, and that can only be done through the mass effort of getting farmers involved. It's having somebody get his Dalet Amos somewhere or an Esrik tree or whatever is very nice. Whether you get a mitzvah or not is debatable. Okay, even if you say you do get a mitzvah, that's not keeping Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. It does nothing for Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. And if anything, it confuses people and it makes them believe that that's what the mitzvah is. That's not what the mitzvah is.
Now, it could be that they're right. I would have Rabbi Margolius and team, they would say, look, you're living up to the letter of the law, and that's what counts. And they may be right. I'm not going to deny that. Okay, so it's the letter of the law. But here's another question that I would ask the gentlemen who sell land in Eretz Yisrael and a foot by a foot or 2 feet. I would ask them the following questions. I would say, look, if we're not there, we're not mechuyev, if somebody's living in New York or England or South Africa or France or Australia, where we have many listeners, etc., they are clearly not mechuyev in Shemitah. But what do they advertise? Imagine, get in on the mitzvah. You could get in on this mitzvah. I would ask the following questions. Why not open a business? Like Kol Yisrael, you would think. And they write that, you know, there's Taryag mitzvahs, Taryag Evarim. And if you're missing one, you should be missing one of your Evarim. Every Shabbos, what do we have a halacha? Pasuk. L'man yanuach shorcha v'chamayrecha. There's a din of shvisas shor v'chamayr. Did you ever hear of your Rosh Hashiva, your Rebbe, going out and buying a shor v'chamayr so that every Shabbos, 50, you know, two Shabbosim a year, 24 hours, you know, per Shabbos, he could be mekayim shvisas shor v'chamayr? Why don't we do that? Did you ever hear your Rosh Hashiva or your Rebbe go ahead and say, look, I was in Micaiah, Micah. Could you find me somebody who has a roof? And why doesn't this fellow who has a roof and he has to put a Micah up, you know, sell out portions in his roof so that 100 people could be Micaiah mitzvahs vasisa Micah, legagecha? Or let's find somebody who has a chamoyer. There's a mitzvah of petah chamoyer. Somebody who has a donkey. Let's buy portions of the donkey so that all of us can be Micaiah Petach HaMoir, so that our Taryag Evarim should be Nizan from this Petach HaMoir. Or what about Trumas and Maisris? Why are you buying this Amman Eretz Yisrael for Shemitah? Shemitah is just once in 7 years. If you buy it so that every year you could be Micaiah Trumas, Maisris. You could be Micaiah Leket, Shikhapeya, 5 mitzvahs, many more mitzvahs at Luyas Baritz. Additionally, buy a sheep so you can be Mekayim, Reishis Hagaz. What about this week's Parsha, mitzvah of Shechita? Why doesn't anybody go to a Shechit and say, listen, could I, you know, pay you $10 to make you a Shliach that I could be Mekayim, mitzvah Shechita, it's an assay? Or Kisei Adam, this week's Parsha. I want to be Mekayim Kisei Adam, find somebody who Shechts, and make up to meet him. They'll make a shliach, pay somebody to do kisei adam. You're also being mekayim kisei adam. I mean, if you want to go to the absurd, one of the taryag mitzvahs, if you feel that all taryag mitzvahs, if you're missing one, you're missing one of your ivarim, is to be megarish beget. We should maybe divorce our wives beget. And according to certain poskim, machzeh grushasei is also a mitzvah. You can now be mekayim two mitzvahs, divorce your wife, remarry your wife. Why don't we do all these things? Be Mekayim mitzvahs, nazirus. I mean, there are so many mitzvahs that, and the answer is, for some reason, I don't know why, and maybe there have been stories of people who did try to do all of the above or some of the above, but I had big Rosh Hashivas. You probably had big Rosh Hashivas. Big Rebbes. We've had this. I mean, I don't know which Hasidus you are, which yeshiva you went, but find me a Rosh Hashiva who did any of the above or a Rebbe who did any of the above. It doesn't seem that. So why is Shemitah? Now, on top of that, Shemitah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to almost all Paiskim, is a Drabanim Bismanazah, whereas Shvisus Behemtoi and Shabbos is a Daraisa. Petach HaMoir would be a Shabbos. What about Mitzvah Zroya L'Chayayim V'Keva? All the mitzvahs matnas kahuna, Shulchan Aruch brings them. Many of these are daraisas. Kisi adam shechitas for sure are daraisas. Why are we running to Shemitah? If the concept is a mitzvah that's not your mitzvah, why are you getting involved in? If it's not in front of you, you have no chiyuv to go create this mitzvah. Now, an exception, by the way, is tzitzis, the chazal were mekayim it, because they said, look, you're always wearing begadim, and what would people do? They would round out the fourth corner, etc. So since we all wear begadim, they said, if you don't put on tzitzis, it's almost like a slap in the face in the mitzvah. So there we said you should do it. But nobody has a chamor, so we weren't mekayim, petach chamor. So for the same reason, it doesn't seem that there's any inyan to do Shemitah, certainly not in such a way where, you know, you're holding on to your job in Wall Street, in manufacturing, in construction, in Amazon, and now you have an Amen Amen, you really think you're called Giboyrei Koyach, called Vitzivisias Berchasi Vichinem Manah. That's what my hargosh would be if I could ask this question.
Rav Rosner put out a letter, Rav Aryeh Freund put out a letter, Rav Nissen Karelitz put out a letter saying that anybody that does this, is even if he's collecting for a maisid, it's not a private business, he's doing a mitzvah, he's damaging Shemitah to happen in Eretz Yisrael, he's mate sarabim, he's grumme bin zochen, ve'ein ruach chachomem noicha hamenu.
Now I looked around and I saw a Moshe Sternbach in the Tshuva Sanhaga, so I'll put her up online. Really, I was mechavin to a lot of what he says, and he says, look, there's really no reason to do this. And he says, instead of doing a srach mitzvah, like a shred of a mitzvah, maybe it's arguably according to the letter of the law, if you have an inch by an inch, you were mekayim it. He says, isn't it better to use that money to support the farmers who really are giboyrei koyach and who really should get the bracha of etzivisias brachasi? They really earn it, because even the small stipend that Keren Hashvias gives them certainly doesn't compare. It saves their farms, but it doesn't compare to what it would if they had their businesses open for the year. So Moshe says, give that money instead to become a shutif with these farmers. And if you're being a shutif with somebody who is Giboyrei Koyach and who does get V'tzivias B'chasi, maybe that way some of the mitzvah would end up on you. So is there anything wrong these people are doing? Absolutely not, on some level, I guess. What's it different than an esrig dealer or a lulav dealer who's trying to make a living out of a mitzvah? But some have a different opinion.
That this is already ingrained in society, it should not be done, it confuses the public, and ultimately they believe that somehow they are helping Shemitah when they are not only not helping Shemitah, they are actually helping destroy the concept that Shemitah should be kept in Eretz Yisrael.
So what's the takeaway? Like everything else in life, a lot of things look alike, but on inspection they're not. So you have Keren Hashvias, it's been around for 100 years, the Chazei Nish was blessed it, all the Gedolim of prior generations, the new businesses that have come out to try to sell you an Amma and an Amma, an inch by an inch, which Moshe Sternbach calls a Srach Mitzvah, which we explained why. Oh, at least have my opinion as to why. They look alike, but they're not really alike. One is a private business, and one is supporting hundreds and hundreds of farmers. So Keren Hashvias is the real thing. The other ones, I leave it for you to decide. This week is Shaiftim V'Shaitrim, Leadership in Klal Yisrael. Let me share with you two thoughts. One is just a gewaltig word from Yosheber Soloveitchik, Tichatzalik Lavrach. He said, the Gemara in Yuman, the Flametesim and Bey, says a story. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, he came out after Yom Kippur, and he said, this year I'm dying. So he said to me, Nayinat Yodeya. He said, every year, when I used to go Lefnayu Lefnim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hayom Mizdamin Li Zokin Echad, Lavish Levanim, Atuf Levanim, a Zokin Echad, who was wearing beautiful, regal white clothing, and he was wrapped in a beautiful silk white scarf, was Nichnasimi V'Yatsaimi. He said, this year, the Zokin was Lavish Shchayrim, was wearing sackcloth and Atuf Shchayrim. Rabbi Yosheber said, how did he know that that meant that he was going to die? Rabbi Yosheber said, who is that Zakin? That Zakin represented Knesset Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol went in, he was accompanied by Knesset Yisrael. He says, and how did it usually look to Shimon HaTzadik? Knesset Yisrael was dressed in silk, white silk. He said, this year he was dressed in shrouds. What does that mean? He said, the Gadol Hadoyer, the Kohen Gadol, his view of Klal Yisrael has to be aspirational. They're beautiful. They're in white silk. Everything is possible. What a fantastic, what a holy Am Kodesh that I represent. He said, when the Gadol Hadoyer goes in and he sees Klal Yisrael Atav Shchayrim, that means he cannot see the beauty in them. He's at that point. That means he can't be the leader anymore. If you as a leader can, your job is to see those who follow you as beautiful, as it's a schus for you, as anything is possible for them, they're special, they're wonderful. When you can't look at those who follow you that way, that means you can't lead anymore. I'm saying this to Rabbeim, how you have to look at children. I want to take this a little bit further. I want to say, you know, Yitzchak, I want to talk about parents. How does a father have to look at his son? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara in Shabbos says on Peites that Lasid Lavei, you know, the Rabbeinu Shkam is going to go to do a din with Kval Yisrael. He's going to look at the history of the Jews. It's a lot of Averis by Kval Yisrael. And he's going to go to Avraham, and he's not going to be able to find something good to say about them. And to Yaakov, and he says, look, Loi Besabi Taimi, Loi Bedar Dekimilsi, Avraham doesn't give a good answer. Yaakov doesn't give, they both say, look, if they did Averis, they should be punished. Let me go to Yitzchak. And what does Yitzchak say? Palgalayu Palgalach. He says, they're your children. They're my children. You can't do anything to them. So Klal Yisrael says, on Yitzchak Avinu Ata, he gets a shame Avinu more than the rest of the Avos. Where does this come from? Let me share. Yitzchak has a son, a really, really bad guy. They call him Esav. What did they say? He was Ma'an Enoshim, Oyved Avayda Zara. He did the worst that all the Gimel Chamuras he was over on. And to Yitzchak, he's only beautiful. Yitzchak can only see the good in his son. And when Kaviyachol says about Klal Yisrael, Banecha Chatu, Yitzchak says, they're your children. And what's he saying to Kaviyachol? If they're your children, how could you see anything bad in them? You've seen the mother who, no matter, you know, they say the Jewish mother was, this is not for yeshiva lighters, but it's a good joke regardless. They say a Jewish mother is pushing the carriage and somebody stops them. She has twins. And he says, you know, what are your children's names? So she says, the doctor is Yasala and the lawyer is Binyamin. Right? A Jewish mother, can she see anything but wonderful, the best things? That's what it's supposed to be. Avinu Ata, it says about Yitzchak. He can only see the good. Eliphaz, right? The father of Amalek. What does Rashi say? He was Niskadel al Birke Yitzchak. Because a father, Yitzchak, Avinu Ata, he can only see the good in his children. You know the halacha, it's that way? You know that in the Haggadah is the Ben Harasha. And what does the Pasuk say? That's the Ben HaRasha. So the Haggadah shortens it. But what does the Pasuk say? What do you say to the Ben HaRasha? V'yamartem zevech pesach hu l'ashem, asher pasach al-batei b'nei Yisrael, etc. Ultimately, hakei yishinav. So here's a question, halachically. Shulchan Aruch paskins that a Rebbe is not allowed to teach a Rasha Torah. It's like ilu zorak evin l'markolis. It's like he empowers Avodah Zarah. Because that Ben HaRasha is going to use the Torah maybe against Frumma, maybe become, you know, all the Moisrim and the Malshinim, they all learned Torah and then they used it against the Jewish people. So you're not allowed to teach a Rasha Torah. It's a halacha. It's an issa. How then, la halacha is the father, ki yoyim rolechem anechem, and the Torah says, yomartem, zevach, pesach, you talk to the Ben Rasha, you engage in the Ben Rasha. Halacha, it should be asa. And the answer is, there's a difference. A Rebbe is not allowed to teach a Rasha Torah. A father? There's no such a thing as a Rasha to a father. A father only sees the aspirational of his son. If he doesn't see the aspirational, like it says by Shimon HaTzadik, that he's love of Shchirim, he's Ois Tata. This is not what a father's job is. So why is this relevant? We could talk about this for a while, but just one nekuda. Elul, for a lot of people, really strikes fear in their heart. The Balei Musa used to say, even the fish in the water sit there and know. But what does it say about a father? Kaviyoch, how does the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's our father. Just like Yitzchak is our father, Kaviyochel is our father, right? Ahavas oylam haftanu, we say Hashem Elokeinu. Chemla gedoyla v'yisera chamalta aleinu. Avinu of harachaman. The Rabbeinu Shalom's our father, and a good father, should never see anything wrong in his children. So it's true, Elul is here, and Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. But we say, Im Kibanim. And if it's Im Kibanim, a good father, Yitzchak, and Esav could see nothing, and Eliphaz could see nothing. So yes, on one hand, the Yomim Leroyim, on the other hand, what an opportunity, What a special time. How safe we are. Avinu of Harachman, Amarachem, Rachem Aleinu. Let's go to our riddle of the week. Okay, so last week's winners, Yossi Bistritza, Moshe Ephraim Newman, Y. Simsovitz, Sreli Modis, Yossi Rabinovich, Akiva Berg, Chaim Ginsberg, Avraham Wolf, Tuvia Gedalia Wiesner, Elish Klein, Rafal Miller, Simcha Rosenblatt, David Birenbaum. We're going to have to start getting donations to pay for all these winners. I'll try to make it a little bit harder this week. The Marsha in Yeridea, Gilyan Marsha, Simon Chavches, asked the following question. Somebody who doesn't have offer for Kisei Hadam is shouldn't shecht. That's the halacha the Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Chavalev, Chavches Chavalev. So the question is, the Magen Avraham and Chaim Simon Gimel brings from the Mordechai that if somebody has a beged of Arba Kanfais that's missing tzitzis, he's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Why? Since on Shabbos it's also lahatel tzitzis, so he's potter als oinus rachmana patre. So you can wear the tzitzis. Question is, you don't have offer for kisei adam, why don't you say the same thing? There's a mitzvah shechita here. I don't have offer to cover it up. On that I'm an oinus. Since I have no offer, you should say oinus rachmana patre, and I should be able to make the shechita without the offer. What's the difference? If you don't have tzitzis on a beged, on Shabbos you're allowed to wear it, because you say, I can't put in the tzitzis, sorry, so it's oinus rachmana patre. Here I want a shecht, I don't have offer, you should say, look, I don't have offer, oinus rachmana patre, shecht, without the offer, what's the difference? Kasha and the Magen Avraham. Question number one. Question number two. We asked before, if you were listening, 10 different mitzvahs, maybe it's probably more, 15 different mitzvahs that we don't try to do today. Nobody's doing Reishis Hagez today, even though it'd be fairly easy, right? Zroya Lachaim Vikeva, fairly easy to do, right? 15 mitzvahs. Why? Because if you don't have to go find ways to put yourself into mitzvahs, and otherwise you're not mechuyev to, even though there are those who would disagree, but it's our Rebbe certainly don't seem to have done this. So the question is, what do they do? What do we do with the famous Chazal? Gemara says in Saita, "Mipnei manis ave Moshe likanes laretz v'chilechel mipiria." Moshe was v'schanin el Hashem tafkuv tesvav. He 515 tefillahs. Please let me into Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, why? He wanted to have the pomegranate, the egozi from the Negev. So it says, no, he wanted to do mitzvahs at Luyas Baretz, but he wasn't mechuyev in them now. And yet, you see, he wanted so much, he couldn't stop davening. So it seems there is a really big inyan to be machnas yourself in mitzvahs. So then why did your Rebbe and mine not do all those mitzvahs? Micah, Petachamar, Trumas Sumaisres, Zroyelach, Yayim, Keva, Shiluach Hakan, Reishis Hagez, Leket, Shikha, Peya, Shchita, Kisiyat, keep going on. None of your Rebbes did it. What did they do with the Chazal about Moshe Rabbeinu? That is our second riddle.
To leave a message, call 732-806-8700 and press number 2. Or email at info@headlinesbook.com.
Now let's go to our guests.
Joining us from Muncie is Reb Shia Markowitz. He's one of the great askanim of our generation. He was involved with Dar Yisharim for 28 years, a CEO of the Aguda for a number of years, and now for the last, he'll tell us how many years, he's in charge of Keren Ashfias. Welcome, Reb Shia.
Shalom Aleichem, Reb David. Very nice to be on this radio show.
So Reb Shia, tell me, what is Keren Ashfias?
Keren Ashvias was created by Rabbi Yamna Mendelssohn years ago when he saw that there was a void in helping the farmers actually go through the Nesayin of Shemitah. And his job was really to help the farmers through giving them stipends so that they can bear the tremendous test that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael in keeping the mitzvah of Shemitah. Today, Keren HaShviyas is the only organization, period, the only organization that enabled Shemitah to happen in Eretz Yisrael by providing thousands of farmers stipends. Again, the stipends don't cover their entire income. It covers between 40 and 50% maximum. And they still have a tremendous Nisayon to go through, even with our stipend. But that's really the job, the main job of Keren HaShviyas. The secondary job is to educate the farmers, to help them, you know, meet the criteria of keeping Shemitah Kehilchasa. There are 9 Dayanim involved in Keren HaShviyas. There's accountants, there's actuaries, there are people to make sure that the everything is above board. Baruch Hashem, even the government works together with Keren HaShviyas. If any farmer calls and isn't knowledgeable about Shemitah and wants to keep Shemitah, the government actually sends them to Keren HaShviyas in Israel.
Now, are you one of the organizations that sells Amis and Eretz Yisrael so that people could be Yetzer the Mitzvah, or this is
no,
pure and honest
charity?
No,
we are exactly the opposite. We accept donations minimally, but because the budgets are so high, last time, 3 Shemitahs ago when I first got involved, in 5768, so to say, Tavshin, Samaches. And then afterwards, it was 5-7 years ago, yeah. The need became greater. More farmers wanted to join Shemitah. And 3 Shemitahs ago, the budgets were less than $7 million. When I got involved more deeply in last Shemitah and became CEO exactly when Shemitah happened, Rav Shmuel Blum started off being the CEO but gave it over to me in the middle. The budget went and grew from $14 million from pre-Shemitah a year prior to Shemitah to actually $27 million when Shemitah started because many more farmers joined. We are this year coming into a Shemitah where the budget is an unworldly $35 million for the United States and Canada, but exceeding $66 million globally. The United States took the brunt of it because we are the wealthiest of all the nations, and we have most of Klal Yisrael besides for Eretz Yisrael. And we have a tremendous Nisayon this year because the government of Eretz Yisrael basically is not helping us at all with stipends to help the farmers. Last Shemitah, they ended up giving $10.5 million when Netanyahu's coalition with Lapid fell apart. And Baruch Hashem Gafni came in and helped us with a $10.5 million grant. However, this Shemitah, with the new coalition in, we were basically told we're not going to see a nickel. That makes the burden tremendous, and it allows us, let's put it this way, to expand and do whatever is necessary to raise those dollars. The other organizations that are raising for Shemitah are private businesses on the whole. They are not supporting farmers on the whole. The Shav Sa'ar Shabbos Hashem that Ribbono Shel Olam wants is a mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has to keep Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, and that can only be done through the mass effort of getting farmers involved. It's having somebody get his Dalet Amos somewhere or an Estric tree or whatever is very nice. Whether you get a mitzvah or not is debatable. Okay, even if you say you did get a mitzvah, that's not keeping Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. It does nothing for Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. And if anything, it confuses people and it makes them believe that that's what the mitzvah is. That's not what the mitzvah is. So we are totally separated from every organization. And if you want Shemitah to happen in Eretz Yisrael, this is the only organization that makes it happen.
Now,
and I have letters from the Bible Yisrael that say that.
I have an organization here. We tried to get them on the and they sell
four
Amis and one Amma. We tried to get them on the phone, but if you look in the small letters, you know, in the Klein Isis, you see they say it's a private business and they get absolutely nothing for farmers.
Correct.
I'm curious, do you think that they're doing, you know, a benefit, people this way could buy a few an Am in Eretz Yisrael and sort of be part of it? What do you think they're detracting from your mission?
So let me give you a little background. I was in the marketing business, like I told you, and some 35 years ago, I had a good friend who ran a yeshiva. He's still running the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He needed fundraising help. He knew from camp days that I was marketing today. So he came to me to help him fundraise. And it was a year prior to Shemitah, and I came up with this idea at that time to sell, dollar by dollar tfachim it was then, or dollar by dollar amas. I told them, lease yourself a piece of land, you know, farmland, and people will probably want to keep Shemitah, etc. What could I tell you? Well, you know, we spent a good sum of money advertising the product, you know, those 35 years ago, Actually, I don't even say what I spent, an obscene number, but it brought in $250,000 the first week. That was in the days of 35 years ago when $250,000 was a lot of money. And the following week, it did nearly the same. Keren Hashviyas then came running to the Rabbanim that endorsed this concept of buying a little piece of land and keeping Shemitah, and they ran to those Rabbanim who were endorsing the project, made a lot of noise saying we're destroying the ability of Keren Hashviyas to operate because they're confused. People are confused and think that the money is going to the farmer when not one nickel went to a farmer. So this is playing itself over. Ultimately, he said I should stop advertising immediately, and within a year, Rav Rosner put out a letter, Rav Arya Freund put out a letter, Rav Nissen Karelitz put out a letter saying that anybody that does this, is even if he's collecting for a maisid, it's not a private business, he's doing a mitzvah, he's damaging Shemitah to happen in Eretz Yisrael, he's mates a rabbin, he's grommet bin zochen, ve'ein ruach chachomem noicha hamenu. That was pointed at me for having done those items. At those days I was immature, didn't understand, you know, why I did anything so wrong. But ultimately, as I grew up, so to say, those letters came out every Shemitah for three Shemitahs in a row. Rabban Leib Steinman ended up signing on a letter. Today, Moshe Shaul Klein put out a letter like that. Rab Nussbaum, Dayan Eretz Yisrael, just put out a letter similar to that, that this is already ingrained in society. It should not be done. It confuses the public. And ultimately, they believe that somehow they are helping Shemitah when they are not only not helping Shemitah, they are actually helping destroy the concept that Shemitah should be kept in Eretz Yisrael. And it's clear that it's happening, that I went to Rabbi Weinen out to make appeals or whatever. There are Rabbanim calling me that they're confused, that their Rabbi Batam are confused. And clearly the Torah mandated that Shemitah should be kept. It definitely didn't mean that you should keep yourself a little piece of Shemitah over here and let Shemitah go void totally in Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants Shemitah to happen, ki li kol haaretz. It's a testimonial that Kutcha Berichu runs the world. What kind of testimonial is it that people have a dollar amis and the rest of Eretz Yisrael is there's no testimony that the Rebbeinu Shlom runs the world. Is there kisaymu manaychal?
I mean, honestly, I'm looking at this letter that he got. It says, if you donate, nim ninhem giboire koyach oisei dvare mekajesh. So somebody works on Wall Street. He's making $1 million a year. He buys a tefach by a tefach from this. And he's nim ninhem giboire koyach oisei dvare. Like, is that really what the intent was? It just seems so. It just doesn't seem. This fellow saying he saimu manoichel when he buys a tefach by a tefach. It just seems.
You have the same question, and therefore we all doubt with the legitimacy of these type of letters. What do they really tell? You know, it doesn't make any sense that any gadol b'Yisrael, even a non-gadol b'Yisrael, would be ma'ayin a little in the sugya of Shemitah. You know, I'm not the biggest rav in the United States. Far from it. I came out after learning it. It makes no sense.
Rabbi, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Joining us from New York is Rav Nachum Rabinovich. He's the senior rabbinic coordinator of the OU. He's been there for over 30 years. He's also a Rav in Flatbush, the Manistrichka Shul in Flatbush. He's a Talmud of Tarvadas. He's done work on Shemitah for the OU. Welcome, Rav Nachum.
Thank you so much, Rav Nachum. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Rav Nachum, which fresh produce in a supermarket in America, a ShopRite, a Costco, etc., should a person be on the lookout for potential problems during Shemitah?
Well, it's hard to predict exactly what is going to be here. Now, I'll try to give a little bit of a background. What happened, Israel today is a agricultural superpower in some ways, even though Israel is mostly arid, so it's not really land which is that appropriate for growing, but nonetheless, because of the advances in agriculture, Israel does produce almost all of its own fresh produce for internal consumption. In addition to that, Israel also exports, but most of what they export is sold to more local markets, which would mean Europe or Russia. There's only about 10%, or actually less than 10%, that makes its way to North America. And which of those generally come to the United States? Almonds often comes to the United States. Avocados come to the United States. Recently, actually this appeared last Shemitah, carrots started coming too. There are certain citrus that come here, pomegranates, persimmons. There are, but it's not that common. There are also vegetables, there's tomatoes and peppers. Israel has developed unique tomatoes and peppers that have a long shelf life and have certain special qualities. So those have a special appeal, and it makes it worthwhile for them to bring it to the United States. Usually one can identify them because fruits and sometimes vegetables have stickers, even on the individual unit. And that's an easy way to see if it comes from Israel. If you don't see something like that, oftentimes there's a bag or there's a carton in which the fruit comes to the store. And if one looks, one can usually find it. But I don't know that one has to go out of his way to look to make sure that the general fruits and vegetables are not from Israel, because they're not that common.
To me, it's a miyuta de miyuta, basically.
I don't know if it's a miyuta de miyuta, but it's specific types, and it's not, it's a small percentage. But what you do find, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky, is that because the kosher market and those that would not use what's called heter mechir, we can go into a little bit what heter mechir is, in Israel is growing, that the markets that would purchase it is growing. So many of those that grow fruits and vegetables in Israel that rely on heter mechir don't have the normal avenues to sell to. So oftentimes you'll find during Shemitah they will sell those products to outside markets, and sometimes at a discount. So what happens during Shemitah is that you'll find fruits and vegetables that are not commonly in the United States that may suddenly pop up. They sell the land that the Rabbanut, I think, makes a mechira, a general mechira. This is something which goes back probably close to 200 years. There were the Dalei Olam that instituted that here because people simply would be starving otherwise. So they sold land of Eretz Yisrael, and of course that comes into a question of whether one is allowed to sell, or Sichonim is allowed in the Torah. But these Rabbanim felt under the circumstances that one could do so. It was in order to preserve the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So Heter Mechir was one of the methods used, so-called, to get a position to Heter Mechir.
Right. And for Reb Nachum, just to give some flavor to the Eilam, what he's saying, there are two opinions in Eretz Yisrael, and Heter Mechir means they sell it to a guy. And the reason why they're simach, that there's one of the reasons of simach on that there's no leisachanim, which is like titein lohem chaniya bekarka, not to give a guy a grasp on the way in Eretz Yisrael, is because since it's only temporary, it's a mechir lizman, that's not really called giving them chaniya. If you say hi, you can stay here for a year and then you're out of here. That's what they were simach on. And in Bnei Brak, they were very opposed to it. So they use something called an Eitz HaBezdin, which I'll leave Reb Nachum to explain to you what it is. But the bottom line is that those in Yerushalayim, they hold the Eitz HaBezdin is a terrible idea. In Bnei Brak, they hold the Heter Mechir is a terrible idea. So there's nobody here who's figured out a really good outcome for the problems they have for Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. Except, I believe, I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, Red Beryl used to ask the boys to bring pears from America. If you could do that, if you could have a yeshiva where the boys are all bringing you fruit, that's for sure the best. I remember that when I was in Eretz Yisrael, we was learning, so a boy brought him, I heard, supposedly an American boy, wasn't the shiniest penny, supposedly brought her a barrel, a bag of Jaffa oranges back from America.
I think that the machlokes, I think, primarily dates back to the time of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. They argued as to whether it's not so much a shayla of het of mechira of selling and whether that's effective or not. That was a later discussion. But the Beis Yosef held that that land of Eretz Yisrael, which is owned by goyim, is mufka from shmita. The Mabit held that even if a goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, it's not mufka from shmita. So I think that's where you the many Yerushalayim follow the Beis Yosef.
Right.
And that's why, for example, the Badatz and many Yerushalayim is to purchase fruits and vegetables from goyim who own land in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, the dinim of Shemitah don't apply to it. The dinim, for example, of Shemus and Maasers do apply. That's an interesting distinction, even though, it's interesting, I was just in Eretz Yisrael, I came back this morning, and the excitement sort of, we in Chutzlert, unfortunately, we don't live with Shemitah as they do there. It's like everybody's getting excited. We're within Shleishim Yom of Shemitah, so whether the farmers or whether the people in the stores and the people who make products, and there's really a lot of activity. Halavai, we should be zeichet to that once again. But Minig Yerushalayim is that it is owned by Goyim. It's not an issue. It's that the Shemitah doesn't apply to it. The Chazon Ish, following the Mabit, held no. The fact that it's owned by Goyim doesn't really help us. There's still a din of Shemitah. So as a result,
So in your Shalayim and the Badats as well will buy from Arabs who own the land the entire year, right? And right. And the problem with that is that there are opinions that an Arab, that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or Kedushas Shemitah, even on Goyish owned land in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the problem, one of the problems with what they do in your Shalayim. And Bnei Brak does Oitza Bezdin, and Oitza Bezdin basically is really explain it, but it's hard to explain it. It's amazing that it's really problematic. But explain what the Oitza Bezdin is.
Well, again, the reality is I know that sort of in our world we take on certain assumptions, and this is what we heard and this is what we understand. The Chazon Ish was actually very mekel in many of the malachas of Avodas Karka, because he didn't want to accept Yivol Nachri, that people have to eat. So he was mekel in many respects, where others, let's say Rav Pesach Frank, felt that the Hatzim Mechir was a better solution than was that. Again, these are barely, I'm not here to take an opinion over here. But the reality is that there are kulas and chumras, as we all know, and one is machmer in one area, one needs sometimes to be mekel in other areas.
Just explain what Oitza Bezdin is. Explain to Ilam what Oitza Bezdin is.
Oitza Bezdin means this. One of the Isurim, you're of course not allowed to plant Eretz Yisrael. I was just at two wineries, one yesterday. And, you know, when you have wineries and you have vineyards, you have to take care of them. You have to prune them, and you have to sometimes graft them. You have to do different things for them. And when it comes to Shemitah, they only have a few more weeks, and now it's Shemitah. They can't do a lot of things to then improve the growth of the plant. So it's a problem. That's with the fruit which grows from year to year. Something which you have to seed, this is no way, so that you cannot plant. You can't take seeds and put them into the ground and water them. That's just absolutely forbidden. You're not allowed to seed the field. What Oitza Bezdin does is, for those fruits that grow themselves, fruits from trees or like grapes or those types of things. So there's another problem, which is an Isser Schayra. You're not allowed to do certain malachas. So there are certain malachas which are deraisa that certainly can't be done. There are malachas which are only asumid rabbanan, and that you can do sometimes if it's lekayim or if it's done through an akum. So what they do is they do the malachas that are appropriate in the field that they're allowed to do. But then after all of that is said and done, you have an Isser Schayra. You're not allowed to take fruit which has Kedusha Shvias. You're not allowed to sell it under normal circumstances. So what do they do? What they do is Beis Din takes over the whole operation. Beis Din takes it over, so you're not paying for the fruit. I'm paying the Beis Din, and Beis Din then hires the farmer and the distributor and the truck driver and all the various people who are involved in getting the fruits and, you know, taken from the field and brought to the, some say it can be sold in a store. Rav Afrati, for example, does allow his Oitza Bezdin products to be sold in stores. There are others who are marked that it has to be sold through different outlets. They won't let it be sold. So what they're doing is you're not paying for the fruit. You're paying for the work that's involved with it. And many of us, for example, buy a Sroigim from Eretz Yisrael, from Shemitah. It's not relevant now. It will be relevant next year. What we're buying this year is Shishis, is from the sixth year. Next year, Mitzvah, we'll be buying from Shemitah. So what they do is they buy closed boxes. And they have a box that says Sog Aleph and Sog Beis and Sog Gimel, and they put a price on the box. Why? Because what they're saying is, I'm not paying for the Esra. I'm paying for the work involved.
I just want to point out, the problem with this is that the fruits and vegetables during Shemitah do not go down in price at all. So I'm just saying, so...
That's communism versus communism.
No, so that's why in Yerushalayim they think Oitza Bezdin is a shtickle of a scam. And in Bnei Brak they think what they do in Yerushalayim doesn't work. So everybody's unhappy with what the other person is doing. The price doesn't go down. If the fruit was for free and I'm only paying you for the delivery charge, well, you know, when you buy something from Amazon, the delivery charge is free. You're only paying for the product. So why here is the delivery charge more, as much as the product was plus the delivery the year before? That's just the reality of...
I've heard a lot of detractors of the Oitza Bezdin.
So here's, but let me go back to what you were saying. In the supermarkets in America, you may find more product. Whatever you would find would be from Hetta Mechira. Well, Hetta Mechira, if you're Simach on it, does not have Kedusha Shvias, so there would be nothing really to worry about. Is that fair to say?
Well, I would say like this, and this is the question that often comes up. People go to a store, and they pick up a fruit or something or a vegetable, and they make a purchase, and they bring it home. They say, oh, I brought it. It's shmita. What do I do? Throw it in the garbage. And that is the worst thing you can possibly do. Because, yes, if you rely on hetamachira, so then you can use it. However, you still have one problem, and the problem is that even assuming that there was a mechira to an akum, there still is a chiyuv of trumas and maishas. And the reality is that the Rabbanut does not insist that trumas and maishas be taken from fruits and vegetables which are sold for export. So that's the first thing one needs to do. And this is not just the Shemitah issue. This is all 7 years. One needs to make sure that trumas and maishas are taken from it. One also needs to know if it's fruit that it's not arla. Which, again, is probably not the biggest concern, because most, I want to say, there are certain fruits and vegetables, or not vegetables don't have arla, but fruits, there are some fruits which it's more commonly found arla, others where not. The fact is the Rabbanut does address arla in most cases. I don't know, I don't guarantee for you, but what they do is they go through the fields and they take from the new plantings. They take the fruit before it ripens and they just throw it to the ground. So
arla is in general, it's sort of uncommon because a plant that's 3 years or less, it really produces very little. You know, I know we have fruit trees at home, and it's like it takes a lot more than 3 years before they start giving fruit that has of any size or value. That's just the common experience.
Right, but that's what. So the problem, though, is that it depends what type of planting. There are plantings of seeds, which that's usually the case, but in most cases, they're not planting seeds. They're taking saplings. And those saplings sometimes can have time. So that's a shaila when you take a sapling that has grown to some extent, or when you're doing things like grafting, which are always considered arla, you're really not starting from a brand new tree, you're starting from something which already is grown. In those cases, again, but the Rabbanut does, and others, do address arla broadly in Eretz Yisrael, so that it's not that common that you're going to find arla that's going to be sold in the market, not in Israel, and not here in America either. But again, leaving those other issues, which are really not Shemitah-specific issues, but let's assume you're getting the fruits and vegetables, let's assume you'll resolve whatever the issues are of trumas and maizers, but if people don't want to rely on Hetem Mechir, and I'm sorry to put it this way, but in some circles, Hetem Mechir is almost like, God forbid, you know, they would never rely on Hetem Mechir.
Their problem is Rav Cook was one of those who was very pro Hetem Mechira, so it created a lot of a political. It became a sort of a political hot potato.
It did, but it was sort of it. So Khan was for Hetem Mechira. There were the Sheila Kutner who was for it. There were many Gedolim who were for it. But again, leaving that aside, but assuming one doesn't want to rely on it, if you don't rely on it, then the fruit that you have here has Kedusha Shvi'is. The worst thing you can do to something which has Kedusha Shvi'is is throw it in the garbage. It's an issur to take Kedusha Shvi'is and to throw it in the garbage. So the worst thing to do is to throw it away. Another thing you don't want to do is you don't want to take it back to the store for a refund. Because if you do that, the money that they give you back for the fruit has Kedusha Shvi'is. Because what you barter for the fruit is Kedusha Shvi'is. So you have problems with the money that they give you back from the store. So to the contrary, if you have Heter Mechira, you should eat it with Kedusha Shvi'is. There is a question whether one should take Paris of Shemitah out of Eretz Yisrael. And let me give you an example. The OU certifies wine products, many wine products from Eretz Yisrael. When it comes during Shemitah, typically most of the OU wines are not available during Shemitah year. Some of those wineries do make Eitzer Besdin wine. Those wines will not have the OU. Why not? It's not as if the OU is opposed to Eitzer Besdin. In principle, I mean, yes, you mentioned before that there are concerns about how it's done and if it's done appropriately. I always came up with the idea they should come up with a fixed price and they should actually print it on the label so that merchants can't play around with the prices. It's a fixed price. That this is what we charge for this wine. So it's not as if I can charge more or less. That whatever the basin decides is the price, that's the price. And the same way you have a bag of potato chips that says, you know, $1.99, you have a bottle of wine that says $6.53, whatever it may be. That's the way they should do it. But again, that's my suggestion. But why doesn't the OU certify? Because that wine, mechatchila, should not be taken out of Eretz Yisrael. And the OU is on such products primarily for the American market. So as a result, they don't want to have the OU on the product, because if it was sold in Eretz Yisrael, the OU would certify it. But if it's going to be used, you will find actually some wines that make their way to Chutz Laretz, which are Eitz of Esden. But one has to realize that it has Kedusha Shvius. It has Kedusha Shvius. For example, many are not, but not Dominicans, not to use it for Havdalah, because one spills the wine for Havdalah. And it's not leivud. You have to, it's la'achla. It's not, you have to, it's not lehefsid. You have to make sure that to use it and use it completely. So therefore, if you have, whether it's heter mechira or whether it's eitz beis din, and if you don't, you want to consider the heter mechira to be kedusha shvius, or certainly eitz beis din is kedusha shvius, one has to just be very careful to use it in a very special way. If for example, if one has leftovers they're not going to use, that people wrap it up and make sure not to be, you know, to throw it away or to be mavazid, because it has kedusha. So there's special measures that need to be taken. The solution of throwing it out is not the solution.
Are there any issues with canned goods?
Well, canned goods, I think, generally can last for years and years. Cans are incredible ways of preserving food, and canned food can last for 50 years, certainly for 5 years. When one wants to look at, we discuss mostly fresh produce because it has a short shelf life. Basically, you know that in the middle of next year, you're going to, if you can see fruits and vegetables that are fresh from Eretz Yisrael, you can assume they're from Shemitah. If you deal with something like spices, if you deal with a canned product, that can live on and on for years and years. So it's not as if buying it during this time of the cycle tells you anything more about it being Shemitah than if you bought it 5 years from now, because the spice or the herb can last, and the canned product for the same reason. Therefore, you'd want to buy it with an appropriate hashgacha. I'm assuming if you're buying an Israeli canned product, you're looking for an hashgacha that you rely on. And the same would be for, you know, spices and things like that.
So basically, by buying canned goods from Shemitah, would, even if they were Eitz of Beis Din, would create a problem. You would have to track it. You could never throw out if your kid left over or you left over, you know, some of the pot. Well, for that matter, spices. I don't know if any spices come from Israel. I imagine it would be the same issue.
There are spices from Israel. Yeah, there are spices. And not just that, for the reason I mentioned earlier, since they have a difficulty selling in Israel, some of the people who have Shemitah product would very well keep it, store it, and then sell it years later to whatever outlet they can, you know, they can dump it on the market to. So that's why fresh produce, you know, it's just not going to last. Fresh produce is going to stick around, you know, even if you cold store it. It lasts 10 months, 9 months, 11 months. You're not going to see it 2 years from now.
So the bottom line is, if somebody buys wine, let's say Yardane wine or Castel, one of these premier wineries that don't have OU, but they have Israeli Hechsherim, and they do sell them in America, I've gotten them in past years, they have to really be careful when they look at the bottle that if it's from a Shemitah year, right, to make sure not to pour any of it out. I mean, you have to really drain the glass. Is that fair to say?
Right. What happens in with these, let's say, Israeli wines? So many times they will write. Many times, for example, they have a Mahadran Ashgacha 6 years out of the seven, and the seventh year they'll have one of two things. They'll either say Eitz of Beis Din on it. They may even, you know, highlight the fact that it has Kedusha Shvius. They may even have some other verbiage which tells you, you know, something about how it should or shouldn't be used. Or it may say Heter Mechira. But certainly, if you're buying a wine, 2021 wine is not Shemitah, because this is Shishis right now. 2022 wine is going to be Shemitah here. Now, that wine may say Eitz Beis Din, it may say Heter Mechira. There are a few instances where you may have an OU on, or a Mahadran Hashgach on it, and that's what's using Yivel Nachri. They'll buy grapes from Eretz, which you know, assuming they follow the Minigur Shalim, they would consider that not to have Kedusha Shvius. So if you're looking, if you see the vintage of a bottle of wine, which is, you know, is the Shemitah year, it's going to be one of those options. And depending on what it is, you're less likely to see a Mahadran Hashgacha unless it's Eitz of Beis Din. You will see product, if it has a simple Rabbanut, it's probably going to be a Heter Mechira product.
Rav Nachum, this was really fascinating. We're out of time, I imagine. But we have another year of Shemitah. We'll have the opportunity to have you on again to continue.
Okay, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Rav Nachum. Bye-bye. Joining us from Yerushalayim is Rav Ephraim Landy. He's a Rosh Kol and an Av Beis Din. The Beis Din is a Choshen Mishpat Beis Din called Ushvatat Em Tzedek. He's Rosh Kol in Ramot Poland. He's also a Rav in Givat Zev. A lot of titles, a real expert in Choshen Mishpat. And he is of the Kinyan Shemitah. He is the Rav, the Mashkiach, sort of the supervisor of all Choshen Mishpatika in Yanim that have to do with Kinyan Shemitah. I imagine the Choshen Mishpat has to do with the transfer of the assets, etc. He's a Talmud of Itri. He's a Musmach. Welcome. It's an honor to have you, Rav Landy. So, Rav Landy, could you tell us what Kinyan Shemitah does?
Yes. Okay. Kinyan Shemitah they got the rights to rent out pieces of land here from Eretz Yisrael, pieces of land with trees to people. Now, each piece of land that they rent out also has a tree. And Mimele, and this is for the year of Shemitah, that gives each one that rents such a piece could be Mekayim, Bemamoinoi, two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Veshav Soaret, that has a piece of land and is not working it, is not developing it, besides the types of work that you are allowed to do in order that the tree should stay alive. And besides, also, Voiso Shabbat Soaret Lochem Leochlo, that you're masking the fruits, that they let the fruits, let anyone come and take them. So, Lemaitre, this is exactly what we are doing. We are renting out pieces of land. Each piece, as I said, has a tree. And Mimele, we are mezake each one with these two mitzvahs of the Shemitah.
And how do you choose which farmers you donate the money to? Like, I imagine there's a lot of farmers in Israel. How do you choose who to rent from?
In general, we're working with a certain group of farmers from that are growing sroigim. I know it's like between the people that grow sroigim, these are considered the more choshev sroigim in the market. A lot of the gedolim come and take from these sroigim. So of course we can't work with all the lands of the country here. We're working with a certain group of the farmers that are all Shemar Torah mitzvahs, and also going to, of course, be mafkir the fields for Shemitah. It's a sroigim that they're wearing a sroigim in a place in Eretz Yisrael called the Moshav Yashrish.
Okay, now another question. You're renting out trees from the farmers, right? So
right.
So I see like each tree, I think, is like $360. Do I remember correctly?
$450. The land and the tree, yes.
Yeah. Halachically, couldn't you rent, let's say, one tree to 50 people or 450 people for $1 each, and each one would be yotze the mitzvah?
Why? How could you be yotze the mitzvah if someone else is gonna work at this piece of land? If it belongs to, if this piece of land belongs to 450 people, so who is making the mitzvah? If 440 out of them are not gonna work here, and the other 10 are gonna work here, so what happens?
But they're all not gonna work there.
What?
I mean, you don't know. You're saying maybe somebody's going to show up and one of the people you rented to is actually going to show up and work the land. Is that what you're saying? That's what you're worried about?
Yes. No. So I mean that it can't be considered that I'm the mitzvah of a shav saharet if I have a shutef that he might do anything else about it.
You're saying that a land of shutfim and both shutfim are shavis, the two shutfim are not mekayim the shav saharet?
I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
two people. I'm saying if Reuven and Shimon own a piece of land together, right? Right.
Yes.
And they both don't work the land.
Okay.
Are they going to be Mekayim B'Shav Sar Shabbos Lashem? I have a little bit of a raya, by the way. My raya is that Chazinish was Moicha to the Iriya in Bnei Brak. He said, I'm telling the area they're not allowed to do any land on the work on the land in Bnei Brak. And he said, why?
Yes.
He says, because since I pay taxes in Bnei Brak, he says, if you work the land, then I'm a shutif, and I'm a shutif, you're doing it on my behalf. But he also said, and therefore, if they don't work the land, everybody in Bnei Brak is Mekayim V'Shav Sarad Shabbos L'Hashem. So I'm just asking you if the Chazon Ish is correct, and I don't have a raya to it, I'm just saying over a story.
Okay.
Couldn't you theoretically, and I understand that you're trying to do it to be machzik the yad of the farmers, so I understand that just from a common sense, you're saying, look, we're trying to help these farmers here. So if I take one tree and I give it to 10,000 people, I'm not helping anybody. But at least theoretically, halachically, could one tree be owned by hundreds of people? And if none of those people work the tree, would they all be Mekayim v'shavsar Shabbos Hashem?
Well, as I said, according to the Chazon Ish, it's mashma yes. But the problem is going to be that no one could supervise on all the other hundreds of people.
Right.
Now, so if all of you get together and you're sure that no one would do anything and no one would come and take his fruits more than what is allowed to take, so it's one thing. But how could you be sure what are all the other shifts going to do?
Yeah, that's a very valid point. Let me ask you another question. You're renting the land. It's a very valid point, Rabbi Lundy.
Right.
You're renting the land from farmers. Now,
right.
I'm going to get into a technical for my listeners, but I just thought it was an interesting point. It seems not so clear that when you rent land that you could be Mekayim Mitzvah Shemitah. Why is that? And I'm guessing because I saw there's another organization that does it, and they say they buy the land. And I'm guessing that the reason is because you're the expert in Chai Shemesh, but since l'halacha we ne'man, that's Schirus Loikanya. Right?
Let me just finish the point.
I'm just going to finish so my listeners understand. I don't know. Because if somebody rents something, do they in effect own what they rented, or are they considered, no, the owner is the lessor, not the lessee. The lessee means the person who's leasing it, right, is not considered an owner, a lottery shayin, at least according to the Shulchan Aruch, I'm trying to remember. It's in the Yeridaic, I think it's in Kuf Nun Aleph. Right, we shine him that man over there by Avodah Zarah, that's Chirus Loikanya, and therefore there's another organization that is doing it by buying the land. So I'm curious why you're doing it by renting and you're not worried about the concept of Chirus Loikanya.
Wait, first of all, what you say that the Chirus Loikanya, but Lamaite says that Chirus Mechir Loikanya. So the question is the gather of it, but the Gemara says in a few places that schirus mechir leyoyim, schirus renting is considered a sale for this period of time that's rented, and Melan decides now v'shav saaretz is the mitzvah is on the one that has the possibility and the right to work here, and whoever rented out well. In general, almost all the lands here in Israel are all rented from the government. Almost all of them. Yes. So we're going to say that all the farmers are not Mekayem Shemitah because it's not theirs. Whoever has the right to work here and did all the work, he's the kind of shav soret.
Now, I was looking for raya for this point. Do you have a raya to it?
I could tell you. Might say we asked. We asked this question more or less to Reb Chaim Kanevsky.
And did he have a raya?
He didn't get into rayas, but he said very clear that there's Mekayim. Yes, Mekayim. And we asked him if there's an Indian to also for women to rent a piece of land in order to be Mekayim Shemit, and he said yes. Can.
I'm just pointing out that in the Shulchan Aruch and Kufnun Vavin, or it's in Kufnun Aleph, by renting a house to a guy who's going to bring Avodah Zarah into the house.
Yes.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it's problematic. It's not problematic. And I think the Sma on the place says, even though we hold Schirus Loikanya, so it's as if you are the one who's actually bringing Avodah Zarah into your house, it's mutter, and he brings another reason why. He says, Kagayim today, don't bring Avodah Zarah. But I'm just pointing out, I'm sure you know it, that halachically, certainly the Smanim's on as a Pashtus, that's Schirus Loikanya. So it's interesting that Reb Chaim Kanievsky said it's not a problem. But there is another organization, the name eludes me, that one of the things they advertise is that they actually sell it for this very reason. So it's an interesting debate. And I could not find the raya anywhere, either way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not brought
one
in any.
It's Lashon Rambam. One second. Lashon Rambam, Kshem Shemat Neodom Kol Tnai Shirtze B'Mekach U'Memkar, Kach Matne B'Schirus, Shaschirus Mechiro Lizman Kotuvi.
So I have another question for you.
Yes.
Can you use Maisa money to do this?
There are a few opinions about it, even though I didn't find out specific about this, but there are a few opinions in general about using Meister money for mitzvahs. Here, yeah, this case, it's a little problematic because you're getting here a land. You're renting a land and a tree that get value. You pay money, you get it. It's not and what you're doing is, you're not gonna work at your, it's your tree, your land for a year. You're not gonna work it because of Shemitah. So now you could say that for myself, to be kind of the mitzvah alone, I wouldn't have paid so much. If not that I know that I'm also helping the farmers that are showing the Shemitah and they have a lot of expenses. So maybe part of it, I mean, there's a according to Tshuva Vramoyshe, like buying gear raffles, etc. So it could be that a certain part that you estimated here that let's say if someone said, okay, for being kind of the mitzvah, I would have paid only $250 more than that. Yeah, the reason I agree to pay another $200 because I know that I'm helping farmers that are in Kaim Shmita. So then someone that feels that this is the reason he's giving it, so he could deduct $200 from Meister money.
Let me ask you a question that's been bothering me. Because there's a lot of organizations now that are trying to sell land, rent land to people that people could be Yaisish Mitzvah Shmita. So here's my question. Yes. There's a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah that we don't get to do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Petach Hamor. I don't know anybody who has ever Makayim Petach Hamor.
I know here in Israel there are certain organizations that they
do it. So the same thing. Okay. Yeah. What about Leket, Shikha, Peya? I don't know anybody at least none of my friends, all Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, are trying to be Makayim
in the States.
Yeah, but they could do it b'shlichas. They could buy a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael from a farmer. And be Makayim Leket Shikhu Mai Peya. They could be Makayim Rashis Hagez, right? And nobody seems to be interested in being Makayim Rashis Hagez Leket Shikhu Peya. Israel Lechayim Vekeva, right, people. And why do we see that? I could list like 20 mitzvahs like this. Here's a simple one. What about Shvisas Behemtai every single Shabbos, right? There's a mitzvah of Shvisas Behemtai. In fact, it comes right after the din of Shemitah, the din of Shvisas Behemtai, in the Pasuk. It's, what does it say? Sheish Yisham Tasam Asecha, Alaman Yanuach Shorcha Hamarecha. Like, why aren't there organizations that, let's say, go buy a shayr and a chamayr and make sure that it should rest on Shabbos? And they lease it to a bunch of people that they should be shayvis from their behema. Why they should make an organization? We don't see anybody doing for Kisei Hadam, right? For Micah. They should have somebody build a flat roof that's accessible for the, make a Micah, and he should sell it sort of or rent it so that a lot of people could be Micaiah and Micah. And it's got to be 20 mitzvahs like this, 30 mitzvahs. Why is it only Shemitah that people seem to do this?
So I'm going to tell you, we see how the Torah refers to the mitzvah of Shemitah. The Micah, the Torah says that the whole goal is, what the Torah writes, that the whole goal is because of Shemitah. Of Tish Basalat Vihil Totes Shav Suiseho. Right, and as Rashi makes the cheshbon that all the 70 years.
70 shmitas.
Yes. I mean, we are not. We can't say that this mitzvah is bigger than this one or that one, but we see first of all that the Torah is mitzaches, and that the Torah acts in very chomer way to the mitzvah shmitah. That this is for the Golos. I mean, that the Golos is because of that. And besides, it's known. The Gemara says that the Benoitzo is Shviz Ben David Bo, and Chazanish explain and other say it's not a mikre. It means if Am Yisrael are gonna save the mitzvah of Shmita, so then Moshiach is gonna come right after. So in this mitzvah is totally the Golos is because of this Chas V'Shalom Aveira and the Geula is totally in this mitzvah. So I guess that this is the reason that many more people want to be a shutef in this mitzvah. Now, besides,
can I just interrupt a bit, Lindsay? One point. I just want to.
Yes.
You're right. What you're saying, except the only differential, I think it's a pretty glaring one, is that Shemitah Bizman is according to Shulchan Aruch, it's a Drabanan, right? And the Ramah holds, not only is it a Drabanan, the Ramah brings Shitas that it's not Noig Bizman is there. So if somebody could be Mekayim, a lot of Daraisis, Mrs. Daraisa, so Shemitah, you know, what Midaraisa is very Chalmara, Tzeretzara, 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 but Bizman is that it's a Drabanan, or even not a Drabanan, according to the Truma Sedeshin that Ramah brings, you would think that there should be organizations that do this for Micah, for Shita,
There are.
It would be great thing, you know, for Shisus Behemta and Shabbos, for Shisus Hamoire, Shoire, etc., right?
Okay. So now here's the second thing, the second reason that I wanted to explain. It's what you mentioned before. I spoke about Schmidt and in our shul. So I said there's a story about the certain Rebbe that asked one of his chassidim. Let's say you walk in Shabbos in the middle of the street, and you see a big pack of dollars. You see there very clear. You have $20,000 there on Shabbos. What do you do? Are you going to pick it up or not? So that chassid says, Chas v'sholem, on Shabbos to pick up money, Chas v'sholem, and ishtov asuredin. So the Rebbe says, you don't know what the nisayin is. Okay. Continues to the next chassid, asks him the same question. So he starts with Megamgem, Rebbe, well, you know, of course, Shabbos, but after all, what are we talking about? Mukze drabonon, and $20,000, and no, and we have a lot of debts and this. I guess that the Sorore would have been Gaber on me, and they would take it. Says, Pustera, Proster, Yakvos, the beast, Rosem, Chule. Okay, continues to the third chassid. Ask him the same question. He thinks a few seconds, a few moments. He tells Rebbe, what am I going to do if this is going to happen? I don't know. I'm Stalel, Rebbein Shaloylam, Altavayinu, Loyli Dei Nisoyin, Ulel Dei Vizayin. I mean, here we are going to help these farmers. We don't have, it's very, very hard to estimate the Nisoyinis. I got a list here from how much... what are the expenses of this farmer that we are working with for that grows the sroigim and to be mafkir the land on Shemitah? Here I got a list. So like this, for 200 dunam is about 30 by 30 meters, a little more. Yes, for 200 dunam, so it. It came out $1,780,000 shekel. That's just about, let's say...
$500,000.
Right, $500,000. These are nisyonos that, let's say, it's very hard for anyone to stand.
It's like, Rabbi Landy, it's like the world having COVID every 7 years.
Right. To think about a loss of $500,000.
Rabbi Landy, you're saying
yes.
You're saying, look, it may be a drabanan, but we're helping people who to be mekayim a mitzvah are basically shutting down their entire parnasa every 7 years.
Right. Okay. Because of that, we all want to join it to be in shutef. So like this, I pay a little part and. And I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah in a little apart, but it's in general, the main thing is to help. And let's not forget that according to a lot of achoinim, the mitzvah of a shav saharet there's a din on Eretz Yisrael. Now besides the arvus kol Yisrael aregim zelozeh, but there's a din that we have to see that Eretz Yisrael should be shoyves. And if the farmers won't be able to stand la'amod b'zeh, so, and they're going to work in the land. So consider the hours.
Very good. Rabbi Landy, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And it was an honor to speak to you.
Thank you, too. Call to.
Bye-bye.